Hey guys, this is Nikki.
This is Sam.
Welcome back to So What? What's Next?
I spent the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a flip and make a double. Listen, baby, with me you ain't never gotta struggle. I'm in the game 650. Catch a triple double. Watch it tumble, tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. This is coming in. Keep on tumbling. Watch it tumble, tumble. Watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.
Hey guys, welcome back to So What? What's Next? Hey Sam, how are you, birthday boy?
Hey Nikki, how are you doing today?
I'm good, but it's not about me. It's about you.
What's your birthday?
It's your birthday.
Yeah, you know, getting older, you don't like to be reminded.
Look, but, are you getting older or are you getting better? Let's talk about it.
My knees worse. My mind much better. patience is like up there very high. You know, I see things a lot clearer now. So, you know, everything's great.
You know, we love to hear it. Technically, your birthday was Sunday, but we're recording today. So definitely wanted to recognize the anniversary of you entering the world. Did we do anything special over the weekend other than watch amazing AFC and NFC championship games?
No, just footballs, you know, drinking, spending time with my son. You know how I get down. You know, I'm a very wholesome person. You know this, Nick.
Choir boy, okay? Good saved man of God. But, you know, I know I wished you happy birthday, but also happy Black History Month.
It is that time.
It is that time. So I know that previously we would spend some time on the pod highlighting, you know, Black history figures, important Black people in the world. I want to kind of pick back up on that. So, Sam, with that being said, do you have someone that you want to recognize today for Black History Month?
You know something, Nikki? I actually do have somebody.
Okay. Okay.
But they have not been named yet because we're going to get our first Black woman Supreme Court justice coming really soon.
I love this. I love this that we are speaking this into the future. So it's so funny because I didn't tell you who mine was.
Right.
I was going down that same path. And I am excited about Ketanji. I'm not 100% sure she's going to be the nominee, but I do like, Justice Jackson. Ketanji Brown Jackson is up for, well, she's one of the top names being mentioned because I think she's the highest on the DC appellate court now. Mm-hmm. And I think she was voted in and appointed by the majority Democrats. And I want to say at least three or four staunch conservatives. I think... what's your boy in South Carolina? Lindsey Graham, your girl in Maine, Susan Collins. And
yeah.
I forgot the other one, but there was like three to four Republicans that voted her in at the highest level of the DC appellate court, which gives me a little bit of glimmer, an inkling, an inch of hope that the next person on the SCOTUS will be a Black woman, and I'm hoping that it's Ketanji Brown Jackson.
That'd be amazing. And I want Democrats to stop complaining that conservatives are complaining about it. Just put them on the court. There's no reason to go back and forth with these people.
No, it's really not. It's really not.
Just put them on the court.
And then you'll still hold a majority conservative SCOTUS, right? Nothing change. The composition of SCOTUS doesn't change. Right. It's still going to be highly conservative, 6-3. But let's just, you know, let's not make this a headline.
Just put them on there. I wouldn't even rebut or even combat with anything Fawcett's got to say about it. Just put them on the court.
Yeah, I'm just being cautiously optimistic because I know Joe Biden said this on the campaign trail. He reaffirmed it last week and even so far this week. So I'm hoping that he really sticks with it moving forward. And this is time for representation, right?
True.
So she would be the first one. And we'll keep an eye out on it because, you know, it's an exciting time. Speaking of exciting times, I know we had a whole show planned, what we're going to cover, what we're going to talk about. However, there are two major trending topics that are happening right now that has everyone abuzz. And it's not that Tom Brady officially retired for the second time.
Shout out to the GOAT. Shout out to the GOAT.
It's actually the fact that Coach Brian Flores, the former coach of the Miami Dolphins, has filed a discriminatory lawsuit against the NFL. In some of these filings, he has evidence of being discriminated against in certain coaching interviews or vacancies. He's also listing some things about the owner, Stephen Ross, of the Miami Dolphins, about tanking, amid other things. Sam, what have you been reading or hearing about this Brian Flores situation?
It sounds like Flores felt like he was not getting a job this cycle and that his time was being wasted, in my opinion. And
he felt like he was just getting the Rooney Rule, the nice little "we'll bring you in just to check the box" type of interviews.
Yeah, and you know something else, and I was telling somebody else this. Brian Flores has a right to be fucking, he has a right to be pissed off, because Brian Flores started from the very bottom of the Patriots organization as a scout, at like the very, very bottom of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Worked his way all the way up. It took him almost, 10 years? I think 10 years, almost 12 years to become a head coach. Mm-hmm. Then he becomes a head coach, and he's pretty successful, even though he had people working against him within his organization.
Within his own organization, correct.
In his own organization, including his owner, which wanted him to tank so he could eventually fire him. I mean, I guess because imagine if he would have tanked. Seriously, he would have tanked. And then they would have fired him anyway in 2 years because they'd have been like, well, look at his record. But they really couldn't say that. So they kept saying, well, he just didn't get along with everybody. So he has every right to be pissed off, man. And I do think the funnier part of all of this is that Bill Belichick, the Patriots, once again, in the middle of controversy.
I swear, they are so messy. They cannot stay out of mess. It's like, you know how I say that the writers for the NFL this season have earned their Emmys?
Yeah.
Like, truly, I feel like the Patriots are like, you know what? What else can we do in order to take this one step further? In some shape, form, or fashion, they're always involved in some shit.
Always. Nick, it never, ever, ever
never fails.
It's the owner never getting tugged on at a massage parlor. It's Belichick cheating, which I'm all for. It's Tom Brady and deflated footballs. It's
always something. And these are the things that we know about. These are the things that we know about. These don't even take into effect the things we don't know about, right?
Yeah.
You know, so even reading the text, right? So Brian Flores was scheduled to interview for the New York Giants open head coaching position. Of course, I think we got the news last week that Brian Daboll was going to be hired. The Bills offensive coordinator is hired to be the New York Giants head coach. Prior to that, Brian Flores was interviewing because at the time the Giants had not made a call or a decision on who they were going to hire, at least not externally.
Right.
So Bill Belichick, he texts Brian Flores and basically says, congratulations, they got the right guy. And Brian Flores is like, well, I hope so. Yeah. Right. He's like, I interview on this day, or I interview, you know, upcoming. And Brian's like, wait, is this, I'm sorry. Bill is like, is this Brian Daboll? And I guess Brian Flores, like as he's reading the text, it sounds like Bill Belichick is already congratulating him on getting the job, even though he hasn't interviewed. Yeah. And Brian Flores goes, coach, this is Brian Flores.
Are you texting the right Brian?
Something of that nature, right? Basically saying, hey, bro, I think you got me confused. And Bill Belichick is like, oh, my bad, bro.
I fucked this one up.
Yeah, he's like, I fucked up. I meant to text Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I like how he signed B.B.
Then he's trying to BB like he don't know who he's already texting. Like, no, Flores knows who he's texting. Obviously, you don't know, Coach Belichick, who you're texting, right? So in that whole text exchange, like, I put myself in Coach Flores' shoes because I'm like, I know what that feels like, right? When you're going and you're interviewing, or you're going and you think you have something lined up, and then someone hits you up inadvertently and says, hey, like, congratulations. And you're like, oh, what did you hear? only to further understand that this opportunity is not really yours, or this is just a formality, or whatever the case may be.
Right. If you've already chosen your coach, why are we doing this?
Right. And that brings me back to, like, are you just checking the box to say that you're adhering to the Rooney rule? Right. Yeah. And ultimately, you know, you've already made your choice. You've already made your decision. But I think even outside of that, everybody's like, why would Bill Belichick do that? And I say to myself, like, okay, was this an honest and simple mistake? Right. Did Bill Belichick really mess it up? In my mind, I want to think it's a mistake, but I want to say, you know, I feel like the Patriots, for all their messiness, they're a very meticulous organization. They're very methodical in the way that they move.
Oh.
And in my mind, I want to say that it's a mistake, but I'm kind of like, I think Bill was being messy on purpose, but also low-key helping his boy out, right? Helping Flores to kind of say, hey, like, I know what this looks like, you know, I don't know, man. I just feel very...
Let me ask you a question there, because that's the conspiracy part of it, because I didn't think about that, right? I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, though, Flores came from the very bottom of the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few people in the NFL currently that didn't actually play in the NFL that became a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Black. That's black.
Let's specify.
Right. I mean, because if you know Sean McVay, you definitely can become a head coach if you just know him. So maybe Bill got a lot of ramblings about people not taking Flores seriously. And something else that's kind of, now we sit here really get into it. Let's get into all of it.
Come on. Let's get into all our conspiracy theories.
Bill Belichick's best friend is Nick Saban. Nick Saban, coach for the Miami Dolphins, not a big fan of the owner. He said a lot of stuff.
He has never been a fan of Stephen Ross. Has not. Was a big key factor in him going back to Alabama.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, going to Alabama, not back.
Going to Alabama, yeah. So, you know, maybe Bill felt like, you know, let me throw a little dirt on Stephen Ross as I kind of throw a little dirt. And then the Giants kind of, you know, I lost two Super Bowls to them, and I don't like the way they treat my boy around the NFL, passing him around, wasting his time.
Right.
Maybe that was his way of getting it out there. Like, dude, they wasting your time. That don't sound, and actually, when you listen to some players talk about Bill Belichick and the great respect he had for people that played the game because he didn't play, and the great respect he had for people that came up from the bottom, because he shares a lot of ideas with, like, people like Kyle Shanahan. Him and Kyle Shanahan are, like, best friends. He shares a lot of ideas with him.
And Shanny's
my guy. But he liked the way Shanny came up in the NFL, like, at the very bottom. It's not crazy that he didn't like the fact that Flores was getting jerked around.
It's not far-fetched. You actually went down a whole
because they are kind of entangled a little bit there.
I'm just saying, I don't feel that this is completely innocent. It feels very well, like, you know, sticked together here. I feel that these moving parts are all coming together.
You know what would be the kicker, though? You know what would be the kicker?
Tell me.
If Belichick next week decides to retire, that's how you know he did it.
Yeah, if Belichick says, hey, you know what, actually, we ain't gonna wait to OTAs. Let me transition out for you. But no, you know, I think even on top of that, some of the other things that came out was that I think Flores says that Stephen Ross was paying him, what was it? Was it $100,000? Was it? He was paying him a tank, right? For every game that he lost.
He said he offered him.
Every game he lost, he offered him X amount of dollars.
Right.
Right. And that's not far-fetched.
No, that's not crazy.
That's not crazy to me either because, you know, I think this is Flores' second season where he starts off shaky and then ends on these winning streaks, right? Yeah. The last two seasons for the Dolphins have gone that way. Like, for them to rattle off 7, 8, 9 straight after losing 7, 8, I think it was they lost 7 straight and then they won 7 straight or something of that nature. And for, you know, to see that turnaround and to fire a coach after that, it makes you ask questions, especially how they fired him, right? Because it was a surprise to everyone. And they basically said, yeah, he finished the game, the season on a winning streak, but he started on a losing streak, right? And it makes you think, like, okay, Flores wanted to bring in another quarterback. Oh, that's another thing, right? Stephen Ross encouraged him to tamper, right? Because they was trying to get Tom Brady to the Dolphins, which would never happen. And I think Coach Flores wanted Deshaun Watson, but Stephen Ross is like, no, we're staying far away from that. So it's kind of like
in the thing that I read was he didn't want to tamper with Tom Brady because he had a long-standing relationship with Tom Brady, and he didn't feel like the Miami Dolphins was close to winning, so he didn't want to waste Tom Brady's time. I think that's what it was. It was some type of, it was like you wouldn't. I'm not going to call him and lie to him and say, oh, if you come, we're gonna bring all these people here. Then you talking about like, nah, I gotta trust the owner to do the thing that I'm telling Tom I'm going to get done. Yeah. And then you don't do it. Now I look like an idiot to Tom. Now he's mad at me. It ruins our relationship.
Right? And then then Tom goes out on, you know, probably getting hurt, right? Or he just goes out not looking like the Tom Brady that we know, aside from him being 44, 45 years old, right?
Right.
You know, think about it. Tom went to another organization, won a Super Bowl and got, you know, one game shy of the NFC Championship game, right? In the next season, that doesn't happen in Miami. No. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady in Miami does not win a Super Bowl in that first year there. He doesn't even get to the playoffs, in my opinion, with Tom Brady in Miami. So I understand where Coach Flores is coming from, but I think he pretty much felt like his hands were tied at this point because the owners are blocking everything he's trying to do. So, you know, even after the firing, I still think he had hope of getting a job or getting another coaching position, right? And, you know, for all of these things to come out, it's not surprising. Nothing that comes out around the NFL and discrimination and racism surprises me, right?
So you trying to say they're paying to, like, end racism in the end zone? Probably not fixing the problem.
Putting in racism in the end zone did nothing, right? Donating all these funds to these different organizations, we appreciate the funds, but we rather you take it out in word and actions, right? When you write that check. And, you know, just hearing some of the things from a high level, excuse me, not even getting into the details of things, sounds like Flores made a conscious decision to say, hey, I'm okay with never coaching in the NFL again. Yeah. Right, which means it's going to yield him probably another settlement from the NFL, right? Like they did for Kaepernick. Yeah. It's going to yield him a book deal, which he'll probably be, you know, limited to what he can share based on the settlement with the NFL.
And knowing ABC, they don't want to look racist, so they'll probably hire him.
They're going to hire him in some capacity, right? Again, to check the boxes. That's the kind of, you know, that's what we live in now, is to make sure we make this go away as soon as possible. We don't necessarily want to change or break these systems. We just want to be able to make it go away. And what's the fastest way to do that, right? And I think he's going to end up with some type of special or something on Netflix or Hulu or Prime, you know, something like that. So he's not going to be hurting for money, right? There's going to be other avenues for him. It just still makes it very difficult to understand how I think someone tweeted, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he said the Supreme Court is about to have more Black people than the NFL head coaches.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? And both of these speak to the heart of what's going on in America, right? Like, you know, and it's really sad and it's really disheartening, but Brian Flores is going to be on, I think, a couple of morning shows tomorrow. I know he's going to be on CBS tomorrow morning, and I think he's going to be doing another interview. So I'm excited to see what that is all about. You know, I just know that they're going to come up with some crazy number for him to say, hey, we're sorry. here's X amount of million dollars, right?
It's like, we ain't that racist.
Come here's on, a nice eight-figure settlement for you, right?
Would the racist people give you this much money?
But you know what, Sam, you bring up a really good point, though, right? When we were discussing, I think we were texting about the difference between the NBA and NFL, yeah, right? You made a really good point. I want you to kind of pontificate on this, but you basically said that the NBA has more power because the players have more individual power than the NFL, right? Like, Adam Silver works for the NBA players and the owners, right? Whereas Roger Goodell in the NFL only works for the owners, right? Of the teams.
Well, I think that started with David Stern and Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Really? It really kind of started with David Stern and Michael Jordan, but you can kind of go back a little bit further with David Stern and Magic and Bird.
Mm-hmm.
He made it a players' league really early on. You know what I'm saying? So by him making it a players' league, that's just the model that Adam Silver kind of follows. So usually whatever the NBA players want, they normally get. If they want more black coaches, they get black coaches. You know what I'm saying? They want Jason Kidd to get a job, Jason Kidd gets a job. If they want Chauncey Billups to get a chance to get a job, Chauncey Billups can lead TV, he gets a job. Like, it's just how this happens.
Right.
NFL, I think somebody made this point with me. Only the quarterbacks become the face of the franchise. Only the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only like five of those quarterbacks that become the face of the NFL. Like, you know, as you see, they got the Baker Mayfield. They're trying so hard to push Baker Mayfield. If he would just be better, they would love that because they really want him to be the face. They really want him to be a part of the face of the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And they don't like individualism. You know, that's why they start the taunting rule. They got this taunting thing. They don't want people taunting anymore. You know, don't be so individualized with what you say and what you do in these games. Because they want you to forget about these players as soon as the game is over with.
Literally.
Remember Pat Mahomes, but don't remember nothing else. And that's kind of how that, like, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about Brady or not, but you think about, like, how many teammates Brady had. Like, Deion Branch. Like, somebody talk about Deion Branch. Like, dog, Deion Branch is really, really good. What is he doing in his life? You know what I'm saying? But NFL players just don't exist when they leave football. NBA players, they're always on the sideline. Like, you'll see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just sitting there. You're like, nigga, Kareem, man. There's this great
NBA player. Right, he's at Lakers games. The Milwaukee Bucks go to the playoffs and to the finals, and Kareem is there. They're honoring him, right?
Yeah.
His jersey retired it for LA. He has his jersey retired for Milwaukee, right?
And you see them all around the NBA, right? Like, you'll see, like, Michael Redd and just like NBA guys that you wouldn't even think of that's just hanging out.
What? Bill Russell is like almost 90 and still at basketball games, right? In NBA commercials, even still, right?
The NFL, you don't really see that in the NFL. You don't really see the older guys just hanging around the game like that. So it's just a difference in leagues and a difference in way they do things, but it bites them in the butt because they don't really have anybody they go to for these black issues and stuff like that. Like, you know, somebody made a good point. Damon would have made a good point. He's talking about Mike Tomlin. And he was like, yeah, Mike Tomlin's a great coach, and I like Mike Tomlin. He said, but here's a question. Has Mike Tomlin ever had a black coordinator? And I was like, shit. Mike Tomlin has never had a black coordinator. He's like, why do you think that is? I was like, damn.
I have not thought of that either. I have not thought of that.
Because I was asking the question, how does Matt Canada have a job as the offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh? This dude's been fired by every college football team in the country. How is he an offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh? And it's all like, well, is Matt Tomlin, has Tomlin ever had a black coordinator? Does he have one? I'm like, damn, he don't have a black coordinator. And it makes sense. And, like, the only coach that can get a, that got away with it was Dungy. But he was coaching a dumpster fire. They didn't even care. But it is weird. The NFL is a weird place, man. And I think, you know, like we said about Antonio Brown, like, I think a lot of nasty, dirty stuff just goes on, man. And that's just...
It does.
And they're Teflon.
Did you actually see the Antonio Brown interview? Did you see it?
I did not watch him. I did not watch because I was afraid he was going to put his thumb in his mouth. That's the vibe he was giving me.
It was very sedated. Like he said a few things. He made a couple of points, but it felt like he was. It felt like they gave him something. I don't think he was his normal self. I don't know if they gave him something to calm him down or something to kind of neutralize him or what, but I will be honest and say that in that interview, there were a couple of things I wish that would have happened. I would have wished that they would have gave him some chapstick because those lips were looking a little dry. I wish that they would have gave him an opportunity to and he might have done it and it was edited out, but I wish they would have given him an opportunity to speak more specifically around other instances, because he made reference that this wasn't the first instance where he's played hurt or they forced him to play hurt. And I don't know if he's saving that for his lawsuit where he can't speak on it, you know, now.
Right.
And then lastly, I would have loved a longer segment. I think Brian Gumbel asked really, really good questions. And Antonio Brown's lawyer is amazing. When I tell you that man was on point, bullet point. I mean, he even quoted things from the Players Association handbook, like quoted. Wow. And I know that's his job and he's supposed to do it, but even stating it, interpreting it, and applying it to the case, he literally tried the whole case on TV, which I believe in mediation, this will be another one that will not be made public.
You think the NFL's in any type of trouble? Or you think it's still Teflon? I think it's still Teflon.
I still think they're Teflon because it's being ran by billionaires. Like, yeah. You know, I can't see a world where billionaires don't get their way. Yeah. I honestly don't see it. These men are extremely wealthy. They are well entrenched. I don't see any way that the NFL doesn't get turned on its head until there's a shift from, you know, just like the, like we were mentioning in the NBA, until there's a shift of moving from just caring about the owners to actually drilling down to the individual organizations. I don't feel that this is ever going to change. And this is how they want it. This is how they like it.
Yeah. It's their play form. It's their billion-dollar play form that they get to play and manipulate people and drive narratives and create whatever fuss they want to. But with that being said, I did watch every game this weekend and I enjoyed every game this weekend.
I enjoyed this playoff season. Has been amazing. I don't know if it's because, you know, we actually got a full season and people weren't hurt and there weren't any COVID restrictions and things like that. I totally understand why the COVID restrictions and things were in place. I'm not saying that was wrong. I'm just saying this season has lived up. I mean, lived past the hype, actually, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to give ourselves, you know, a high five, being that we did say that it was going to be Cincinnati in LA, even though it looked really crazy at times. It looked really crazy at times. You know, like I was with my girlfriend. We went to the Hawks and Lakers game on Sunday. The game was at 1. The NBA game was at 1. And I think the first NFL game was at like 3:30. And I was like, friend, we got to get out of here. She's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. We'll cut it on here in the suite. And I was like, let's do that. Right.
I love that.
You know, we flexed just for fun.
I love that.
You know?
I love
that. You know, we was in the suite with the good food. So, you know, we got the Hawks game because we wanted to watch the football game and the Hawks game was about to be over.
Right.
But then, of course, the Hawks game goes down to the last 2 minutes and then the football game starts. So we're kind of like going back and forth.
Right.
All that to say that.
Who did the Hawks beat on Sunday, if you don't mind me asking?
They beat the Lakers. They beat the Lakers of Los Angeles.
It's been happening a lot lately.
Actually, that group chat told me since I wasn't in there in all of January that, you know, they've been gave up. They told me to focus on football. They told me to focus on football because I had my trolls ready from when the Heat beat the Lakers and I was off social media. So I was like, this is great. If the Heat and the Hawks beat the Lakers, I have plenty of material, but it wasn't as fun. But my macro point is, you know, I wanted to watch football so bad that I'm at another sporting event and I'm trying to find a way to watch football. That's the kind of hold football has on America.
Yeah, the quarterback play. I think it got a lot to do with the quarterback play which I found people kind of, oh, I'll tell you what was funny, Nikki. The KC gets into overtime and they win the toss and their fans start cheering. I thought that was the funniest thing of all time. They start cheering. And guess what Cincinnati did, Nikki?
Tell me, what did Cincinnati do?
They got a stop.
Got a stop. Not only did they get a stop on the next drive, they drove what, to the Kansas City 12?
Yeah, 12-yard line. Scored, won the game. And I told somebody, I say, see, nothing wrong with overtime rules. It's nothing wrong with your defense. Nothing wrong with overtime rules.
This proves that overtime works.
It does work.
Right? This format works because literally you had four quarters to win it. You didn't do it. Okay, overtime, sudden death, whoever scores, it is what it is. Now, in college, I'll be honest and say, in college, you know, they're going to have to revisit that because remember that, what was that? Wasn't it the LSU-Texas A&M game that went to like seven OTs or something like that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, now,
I don't like
that's the one you got to revisit. That's the one you got to revisit.
I don't like to just put the ball at the 25-yard line. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. But that's literally, that's where you should, you know, raise holy hell about changing or altering the overtime rules. But NFL overtime, I have nothing to say about it. It works. It works.
Yeah, it definitely worked. and I was happy to see Cincy get in. And I felt like the Rams were going to beat and I told you that Garoppolo had a pick in him. I thought it was going to be a pick six, though, but he definitely had a pick in him. He went ahead and did what he had to do. So
that Stafford made me nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. There were at least two times in that Rams-Niners game where I had to change the channel. Because I was like, I want L.A. to win so bad. Yeah. And I'm like, they cannot stop Debo. And if for some reason, San Fran stopped feeding Debo, right? Like, they weren't doing – in that fourth quarter, it felt really wonky from the 49ers side. Like,
he got hit really, really hard on that one play. I think that might have had a little something to do with it because he got hit, like – I was like, man. I was surprised
the drop interception by Tart, right, because Stafford threw it in his hands. That was a game changer. And then that 15-yard penalty when, oh, boy, hit Odell head on, right?
Yeah.
Dale caught the ball. I think it went – it was like a 30-yard catch that went now for 45 because of that penalty, and that put them right in position to win it, right? So, you know, great game. I felt so bad because after the game, Debo cried, and I was like, man, like seeing them, that passion for the game, like, you know, you feel for those players, right? But I am excited about this Super Bowl, and I was telling one of my homeboys, I think that we're really going to enjoy it because, number one, it's a home game for L.A. but number two, like, nobody really has a dog in the fight. Like, nobody saw Cincinnati at the beginning of the season. No one saw Cincinnati in L.A. in the Super Bowl. After the acquisitions of Odell and, of course, Von Miller, you can kind of say, okay, L.A. is serious about this.
Right.
And you can kind of see them creeping up there to win it, but nobody had Cincinnati.
I think that is the one thing about the NFL that that's great. Like other than what the Patriots did and what Brady did for so long.
Yeah.
You normally don't get the same teams always in the Super Bowl. You know, I think somebody told me, we were talking today about the greatness of Tom Brady and the Patriots run was, and they were playing the same team twice. You know, this was not the 49ers constantly playing the Broncos or the Giants. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This was not the Cowboys playing the Pittsburgh Steelers every year.
Playing the Bills every year, right? This is a totally different vibe.
Every year, your team, whether you believe it or not, has an opportunity to make a run if they are managed properly with the right head coach, with the right draft picks, get the right quarterback.
The right GM, the right front office.
If you can get all these things aligned together, you too can make a run. You could be the Cincinnati Bengals. You could be the LA Rams.
You too can win.
And it's one of the most frustrating things about the Jaguars that pisses me off. But, you know. It's interesting, man. So we're gonna talk about Brady because the GOAT finally retired. He's gone.
Yeah, officially retired for the second time, right? So
yeah,
and we all know it. Tom Brady retired on Saturday when all the messages and things came out about Brady retiring. We knew right then and there that
we knew before the game when he said if he loses or whenever the season's over, he will take some time to think about it. Well, if you know Tom Brady, he either all the way in or he's all the way out. It's no,
I agree.
He don't have the temperament to dabble in things. It seems like he's the type of guy that's gonna be all the way in or all the way out. He just can't do, you know.
Yeah, he's not a half in, half out guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So
you know, but when everything came out, I was like, oh my! Like, I mean, I wasn't even on social media, and I wanted to get back on so bad because I wanted to see all the tributes. But I was like, it'll be there when I come back, right? So then when everybody's like, oh, he didn't retire, he deleted the tweet. And it's like, what? He deleted the tweet. Then it was the Bucks GM basically said, hey, he didn't say anything to us. And yeah. I think he retired on Saturday, but he didn't do it the formal way that the NFL would have liked that. Or I'm sorry, the informal way that NFL would have liked him to do it, right? Like, notify here, you go to Goodell, you go to the team, you go to here. You know what I'm saying? They wanted to do it that way, but like there was no way he was coming back, right?
I think it's
hard enough to get to a Super Bowl, to win this, to get there 10 times, to win 7 of them, to be playing at 44 years old in the NFL when the average age is what, 28 to 30? Mm-hmm. You know, you're pretty much out of there. You get a good 3 to 5 years, even though he's playing a different position. I totally get the longevity, but 44 years to still play at that cerebral level, to understand defenses, to understand schemes, to understand, you know, how to relate to players and even just to, you know, put yourself out there, right? Like,
yeah.
Your body has taken a massive beating over the years. And I just, you know, I am not a huge Tom Brady fan, but you cannot deny the greatness of what he's done. For him to repeat that, you know, you could throw stats at me all day. The one thing that you can't really argue or refute is that when he got to the big dance, he has a 70% winning percentage. Even if he only throws one touchdown in the Super Bowl game, he still got a ring. Like, my other group chat was trying to beat me up with Tom Brady stats, and I was like, show me another quarterback that went 10 times. Show me another quarterback that won 7 times.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's ultimately how we judge greatness.
Nobody manages a game better than Tom Brady. Like, nobody, like, he's got the most spectacular quarterback. Like, Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes would do more spectacular things than Tom Brady would ever do. But when shit is bad, when the shit is terrible all the way around you, he doesn't make the key mistake. He always keeps the offense on time, and he always gives you a chance to win the football game. And it's like, I don't think there's a better game manager at the quarterback position ever.
And it's, Tom Brady.
Yeah, than Tom Brady. It was crazy. You know, the first time I ever watched Tom Brady was when he was at Michigan and they beat Alabama. He came back from behind to beat Alabama in the Orange Bowl. First time I watched Tom Brady. So it was like 2000. So, and the only reason I was watching that game was because Sean Alexander played for Alabama.
He was the running back for Alabama, yeah.
Freddie Millins, who was like a little baby Peter Warwick. I liked the Freddie Millins. And they had Andrew Zapp, quarterback. And my granddad, we used to watch all these bowl games back when bowl games mattered, kids. It's a long time ago, but bowl games used to matter.
They did.
And I was watching this game, and Tom Brady, he got behind in the game, and he ended up driving down the field at the end, score. They go to overtime. He scores a couple times, and overtime, they go back and forth. Eventually, they win the game. And I remember, I think it was Lynn Swann was like, I don't know if this kid is going to be a great NFL player, but he's a guy that you want in your franchise, you know, just talking about Tom Brady and shit. And then, you know, he goes to the NFL, and then he get a chance to play, and then the rest is history, greatest quarterback of all time. And for me, the second greatest winner, him and Michael Jordan, 1-2. I don't, like, the people I want in any person situation, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Marty Bird. Those are three people I want in any pressurized situation. I want those three in any pressurized situation. Give me those three on the court at the same time. I feel like I win it, whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing around the whole Tom Brady situation is that you can never – Tom Brady can be down three scores. And until that clock says 0-0 in the fourth quarter, until it's zeroed out – you are on the edge of your seat because Tom Brady has some of the most amazing comebacks. Like, this is how you know he is a game changer, because most teams that are down three scores
right
in the fourth quarter, you just be like, okay, game's over. I can go back to eating. I can go back to drinking. I can go back to, you know, doing what I was doing. But yeah. When Tom Brady is playing, he makes you pay attention because yeah. You just don't know if it's going to be one of those miracle moments that you don't want to miss. But, you know, I think ultimately, are there better quarterbacks statistically? Absolutely. Right. You know, I can beat you up with numbers all day. But, you know, I will say that Tom Brady has definitely served the NFL well, earned them a lot of money and also gave a lot of relevance to the Northeast.
That guy.
I also want to acknowledge that, you know, I don't have necessarily a pick, but I think because of the people who I want to win the Super Bowl, I do have a pick because I want Jalen to win a ring. I want Cam to win a ring. Yeah. I want, you know, Aaron Donald to get a ring as well. and also, I'm not a big Stafford fan, but I feel like, you know, this is an opportunity for him, like, to redeem himself, right? So. Mm-hmm. People can not heckle, you know, haggle him about those Detroit years, but I am definitely pulling for the Rams to win it. I think anytime a home team can play in the Super Bowl, it's only right that they win it.
Yeah, I don't actually think this game is going to be close, actually. I think we had some great playoff games. I think it's been great leading up into it. This is a terrible matchup for Cincinnati. This is a terrible matchup for them. I mean,
yeah, like I think this when we saw the Kansas City game, we were kind of like, oh no, they might be able to pull it off. But for
that's a good matchup. Know? I felt like the Kansas City versus Cincinnati was a better matchup for Cincy because Kansas City wasn't really great at safety. Their safety play was terrible all year. They wasn't going to be able to fix it against a team that could spread you out the way Kansas City can. I mean, the way Cincinnati can. But now Cincinnati's going to play against. The Rams, and Jalen can go anywhere with Chase, right? You know, they move him around in the scheme a lot.
Yeah.
So, now, I'm not saying Chase won't get his, but I'm saying
it won't be as easy, right?
Right, right. You don't have to give all your attention to Chase because you got Ramsey on him. And I just think the pass rush is going to get to Burrow. Then they have to do is rush four. And they can make it happen. I just think that's something that Kansas City couldn't do. So I think it's a terrible matchup. I think we'd be looking at like third quarter. This game would probably be over. I think.
What was that? Who were they playing? Was it Pittsburgh? Who did they play before? Who did they play? Burrow got sacked 9 times.
Oh, that was Tennessee Titans.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
you get sacked 9 times. If you see Aaron Donald 3 of those 9 and Vaughn like 2 of those 9.
They got some guys that can get to you, man. So I just don't see them. It's just hard for me to see them really pulling it out, to be honest with you. But it's been a great story, and I don't think Burrow them going anywhere. I think they're gonna be here for a while.
I don't think this is a fluke. I don't think this is a fluke for Cincinnati. Yeah. So I think who they gonna be around, you know, show us what's up. But also, I know we got to get out of here. But you know, Sean Payton. I don't think we covered that with Sean Payton resigning from the Saints or stepping away from the Saints. Mm. I thought that was interesting too, especially since they still own his coaching rights, and everybody keeps saying that he's going to Dallas. He'll replace McCarthy.
Makes the most logical sense. I think they give McCarthy one more year. I think they fire him. I think they trade for Payton. They give a first rounder, second rounder, whatever. Get Payton. Make their run.
All right. You heard it here first. Another hot take. Another prediction. Here we go.
My hot takes be hitting sometimes, though. My hot takes be hitting. I had a few good ones.
You know, as long as you hit, you know, more than you miss, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it.
That's it. So you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. This is a great episode. Y'all make sure hit me up. We're going to do some Twitter spaces. I'm trying to get a big guest lined up for next week.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah. Trying to get us a big guest lineup for next week. So just hit me up. Just look out for that. Make sure you like the pod. Make sure you comment on the pod. I'm going to put Adam's information at the bottom in the comment section. Please hit him up. Get your life insurance. Get your life together. Get your finances together. We out.
I've been wide awake from bottom up. Rounding it up. Mama done told me none of easy. Like, boy, get your ass up. Chewing up. I put in the work. Now blessings counting up. Look at them haters frowning up. So I flex to rile them up. Hey, look at my boss. Spending the cause. Check my flaws. You can ignore. Come to the house. Give you a tour. Take your shoes. The dirt on my floor. Out of the taste. Good. Shoot them more. Out of the rain, the blessings coming in pour. Yeah, I spent the bag on a bundle. Turn around and take.